present John le Carré's A Perfect Spy, adapted for radio in 8 parts by René Basilico. Starring James Fox as Magnus Pym, with James Grout as Jack Brotherhood, and Brenda Bruce as Miss Dubber. A Perfect Spy, Part 1.
Don't just stand there, Magnus. Pass me those pearls, will you?
Oh. You look already ravishing, my little pigeon. I am burning with desire.
For God's sake, Magnus.
Here.
Thank you.
Please, my darling, have we not time for one perfect divine moment?
Stop fooling about and fix the bloody clasp.
Hold still. Spoil sport.
Later, perhaps.
Come on. It'll be at least half an hour before anyone arrives.
The Lederers will be early. They always are. B will want you to herself before the other guests arrive.
It's her contribution to the very special relationship between our two great countries.
Come on, Magnus. She fancies you.
Oh, don't be silly.
You know she does.
B Lederer doesn't compare, darling. Oh, not on any level.
Yes, well, I'm not having her play footsie with you all through the meal. I've put Frau Dinkel next to you.
Oh, no.
Your own fault. You shouldn't have invited her.
I had to. Her husband's a colonel in the Signals Bureau at Wiener Neustadt. One to cultivate.
Then you'll have to do the cultivating, my darling. And I'm sure you'll do it beautifully. You always do.
But Frau Dinkel, God.
You'll just have to work at it, darling. We don't want a diplomatic disaster on our hands, do we? And if you want to make yourself really useful, you could make sure Herr Wenzel fetched some ice from the fish shop.
Is that the only place in Vienna where he can get ice?
It's where he always gets it.
It'll smell of fish.
Please, darling.
All right, all right. Oh, sure, you're a hard woman, Mary Pym.
Mary, darling, this is absolutely delicious.
Oh, thank you.
Don't you think so, honey?
Wonderful, wonderful.
It's a favorite recipe of my mother's. She adored venison.
So do I, when it's as good as this.
Well, you must persuade Mary to give you the recipe.
Would you, darling? Of course. I'll write it out for you after dinner. I'll have it. Good of you. Would you like more red sauce, Herr Oberst?
Oh, yeah, bitte. Very good.
I'm pleased you like it.
Yes, ist nicht so viel.
Was, das bisschen schadet nicht.
Ich darf ihn dauernd, er soll nicht so viel essen, aber hört nicht.
Excuse me. Herr Wenzel, would you mind answering the phone, please?
Of course, yes, I'll
say. So I hear you're going skiing in the new year, Magnus?
Yes, are you?
Oh, it's good for skiing, you like it.
We rented a chalet up there the first 2 weeks in January before Tom goes back to school.
Why don't you and Grant come with us, please?
Oh, do you think we could, Grant?
Well,
bring Becky along. She'll be company for Tom.
Oh, is that wise? They're practically lovers already.
Excuse, Herr Consular, the telephone is for you, please, from London.
Thank you. Would you excuse me?
Yes, of course, ma'am.
I think London must have a spy who tells them whenever we're having a dinner party.
True. Ah, you're a lucky woman, Mary. I know women who'd give their right arm for a husband like Magnus.
Or for a husband, period.
Well, if I had my way, I'd give him an American passport right now and pack him off to Washington to pick up the Democratic ticket.
Huh? Draft Magnus for president. What a great idea.
Great.
Well, why not? I mean, Dee's always said he's got real charisma.
Has she not?
No, don't tell me you haven't noticed, darling.
Why, you should have heard him before dinner. I've never heard a Democrat put his case better.
Really?
Sorry about that.
Everything all right, darling?
Fine, just one of Whitehall's little rumbles. Yes,
I say, Magnus. Grant has just nominated you for president of the U.S. of A.
Don't tell him that, for goodness sake. He's insufferable enough as it is.
Ich hoffe, Sie beide werden uns bald besuchen, Herr Pym.
Ja, gern. Vielen Dank.
Auf Wiedersehen.
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 Bye.
Thanks again, Mary. Thank you both for a wonderful evening. Wonderful.
Lovely to have you, Bea. Isn't it, Magnus?
Yes, of course.
Say, are we going to go home or do you plan to stay the night?
Coming, honey. Thanks again, Mary.
Don't forget, him for president.
We'll think about it.
Night.
Go carefully now.
God.
You all right?
Yes, I'm fine.
You've been very quiet since dinner.
Have I?
Since that phone call. That's it, isn't it? Who was it?
Jack Brotherhood.
Oh?
Rick's dead.
What?
Rick, my father. He's dead.
Oh, my darling. I'm sorry.
You don't understand, do you?
Hmm?
I'm free, Mary. After all these years, I'm free.
I know there'll be a lot to do, but you will make time to see Tom, won't you?
Of course.
Rick was his grandfather, after all.
I know. But let me get the funeral over first, and I'll go straight on down to the school. I wouldn't want him to hear the news from anybody else.
You sure you'll be all right?
Here. Love you.
Love you too. Go on. Don't keep the car waiting.
See you on Monday night, then. BA 706. Gets in about 9:30.
I know. I'll be there.
Bye, darling.
Bye, Magnus.
I think so.
Bit of a dump, innit?
Has seen better days, yes.
Well, I want to say 20 quid in the clock, Cup.
That's fine, thank you.
Oh, thanks very much, sir. Cheers.
Cheers. Hello, Mr. Cudlow.
Mr. Magnus. It is Mr. Magnus, isn't it?
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Thank God you're here, sir. Come on in.
Thank you. You still working for my father?
Not working, sir. Not since they repossessed the Rolls. Not much call for a chauffeur without the Rolls, was there?
But you stayed with him.
Where there's life, you know, sir. And Mr. Rick was always very good to him.
What's that? What's going on in there?
Oh, that's two of his lovelies, sir. Well, you know what Mr. Rick was like.
Yes.
Meant to be sorting out his personal effects. I hope they're not taking liberties.
I'd better go and see.
Well, I would be grateful if you would, sir. I've just got a little job to attend to. Won't be more than a couple of minutes, if you'll excuse me, sir.
No, nothing here for us. Get that one out, though. Ah, more of his ruddy papers. More unpaid bills. IOUs got to go back years, don't they? He said he'd see us right. Hang on, what's this? Bank statements. Well, forget it. Never has the bloody red, was he?
Hello.
Who are you?
I'm Magnus. Mr. Pym's son.
Oh, well, come in, dearie. Nice to meet you.
Yes. Thank you. May I ask what you're doing?
Well, yes, you're with his boy, all right. You can tell, can't you, Dave? Oh, yes, he's Rick to a T. He was proud of who he was, you could tell. Always talking about who he was, right up to the end. To the very end.
Were you with him when he passed away?
Oh, yes, dear, both of us. He was having a little cuddle, if you must know. He liked a little cuddle when he'd had a drink or two. Sort of comforting, like. Of course, he was a bit depressed, wasn't he, Dave? Oh, yeah. He really had them.
Why? What was wrong?
Well, he had a bit of a barn. He was a telephone people, hadn't he? He said if he couldn't have that phone no more, it was time to go.
It was his lifeline, wasn't it, that telephone?
How could you do business without a phone, a clean shirt? It was a judgment on him. That's what he said, wasn't it, Dave?
Yeah, judgment. It was probably best this way, dear.
Yes. So why are you going through his papers?
Just rummaging and rummaging.
Why? What do you expect to find?
Last thing he said to us was, there's enough in them files to see you girls right till you join me. But there isn't. There's bugger all.
Yes.
And don't look at me like that. He had everything we had a long time ago. We done the gas, the electric, we cooked his dinner, and we give him comfort, Vi. That's right, Dave. Did, whenever he needed it.
Yes. I'm sorry. He was lucky. He was very lucky to have you to look after him.
Right,
Mr. Magnus, sir, if you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see your father, sir?
Of course he does, don't you, dear?
Yes. What have you got all that ice for? Well, it's for Mr. Rick, sir.
Where is he?
In the bar, sir. Just along here.
Thank you, Mr. Cadler.
I don't suppose you've got a bottle in that nice briefcase of yours?
No, I'm afraid I haven't.
Pity.
Why didn't you close his eyes?
Oh, I did, sir, to be frank, but they kept opening again.
What a tawdry end to come to.
Well, there just wasn't the fun, sir. Not a penny piece anywhere.
Look, let me give you a cheque for £200 to cover the immediate expenses.
Thank you, sir. Make it out to cash if you wouldn't mind. I'll need cash in hand.
There. If you need more, let me know.
Yeah. I'm sorry about this, sir.
Yes, well, if you could just get the undertakers to move the body, Mr. Cadlove, then this whole business can be wrapped up as quickly as possible.
I understand, sir.
Do you think it's time we were going in, sir?
In a minute, Mr. Cadlove.
You feeling all right, sir?
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Who's that?
One of his creditors, I should think.
More than likely.
Still, at least, we're not the only ones to see him off. When you think of the good old days, sir, and how many people are caused to be grateful for Mr. Rick's generosity.
Yes.
Where are they now, sir?
Excuse me. Is this the interment of the late Richard T. Pin?
Yes.
Oh, thank God I've got here in time.
Oh, it's all right, sir. The service hasn't started yet.
Actually, he's being cremated.
What?
He's being cremated.
Oh, no. They can't do that. They must stop the ceremony.
Hey, where are you going?
Let me go, please.
Well, now, just knock it off. Now, there's a good lad.
But I must speak to someone. They can't commit him.
Now, I won't tell you again, sir.
But they must stop the ceremony. I'm here to collect Mr. Pym's head.
Right. That's it.
Out. Let me go.
Just a minute, Mr. Cadlove. Now, we can do without this.
Please, Mr. Cadlove. What did you say?
We want Mr. Pym's head.
What?
It belongs to the hospital. He sold it to us. It's ours. I've come to claim it.
You've got a nerve.
Here, I've got a receipt. Here.
Sir, the butchers. In consequence of the sum of £50 cash, I consent that on my death my head may be used for the purposes of furthering medical science.
May I see? Thank you.
It is his signature, sir. One of them.
Yes.
Here, you can't do that.
Can't he? I'm going to buy your receipt back for £100.
Well, I'm not sure if that's ethical.
Well, of course it's ethical. 100% profit, that's handsome, mate. Handsome.
There.
I think the hospital would have preferred the head.
I'm sure they would. Good day to you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Shall we go in, Mr. Cadlove?
Couldn't resist it, could he, sir?
What?
I once heard Mr. Rick say he'd sell his soul if it would solve his liquidity problem. But his head? Dear me.
British Airways announced the arrival of flight BA 706
from London. Be there,
Jack. Please be there.
Rutherford.
Oh, God. Jack, it's Mary. Mary Pym.
Hello, Mary. How are you?
Where's Magnus?
What do you mean, where's Magnus? How the hell should I know? Where are you?
Vienna, the airport.
Yes?
Magnus was booked on BA flight 706. He wasn't on it.
Maybe he's taking a later flight.
There isn't a later flight. He checked in on BA 706, Jack. His case is here. It's still going round on the baggage carousel.
All right, Mary, I'll look into it.
It may be nothing, Jack.
Go home, sit tight, say nothing till you hear from me.
Sorry, Jack. I'm just worried something might have happened.
Good girl.
You for hire?
Yes, sir.
Surprised anyone's here at this time of the morning.
There's usually one or two off the night train.
Oh, I suppose so.
Better you get in, sir. Then perhaps you can tell me where you want to go.
Devon, oh Devon, in the wind and rain. Come on, Miss D. I know you're up. I can see your light.
Who is it?
It's me, Miss D.
Oh, Mr. Canterbury. Just a minute. You bad man. You caught the night train down again, didn't you?
Afraid so.
Why ever didn't you telephone?
I thought next door was up for sale.
Seaview? It is. Why?
There's a light on in the top bedroom.
Oh, that'll be Celia. She rented the top floor flat.
Celia who?
Ben. Dr. Ben's daughter. She wanted somewhere where she can see the sea and paint it.
Oh.
Now come in this instant. You'll catch your death.
Thank you.
Hello, Miss Dubber. How are you?
I don't know. Doesn't set foot in the place for months on end. Comes back in the middle of the night and starts worrying about a light next door. You'll never change, will you, Mr. Canterbury?
Dear Miss Dubber.
Why, Mr. Canterbury, how dare you? Take it off this instant. That horrid black tie. I won't have death in the house.
Sorry, Miss D.
Who's it for, anyway?
Oh, it's just an old Whitehall colleague. No one close.
When you get to my age, Mr. Canterbury, everyone's close.
I hardly knew the fellow, really. Oh, here. This is for you.
Oh, what have you done this time, you naughty man?
Open it.
No, no, I won't have it. Take it back at once.
It's just a little something to keep you warm on a cold winter's night.
Oh, you do spoil me, Mr. Canterbury.
Any visitors?
No casuals, if that's what you're looking for.
John and Sylvia in Legible from Wimbledon.
Oh, they've been here a fortnight. They leave tomorrow.
Hmm.
He makes computers or something silly.
No runaway couples or mystery princesses.
I'm not taking casuals anymore. Oh, Mr. Canterbury.
They said it was cashmere.
Oh, I just think it is.
Well, aren't you going to try it on?
Oh, really?
There now. Look in the mirror.
Oh, it's beautiful. The most beautiful shawl I've ever seen.
I'm glad you like it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Mm.
Oh, you shouldn't go spending your money on me like that.
Does that mean I don't get my cup of tea?
Oh, now see what you've done, you naughty man. Come on, into the kitchen with you.
What were you saying about taking casual visitors?
I've decided against it.
Oh, why?
I can't be bothered anymore.
I think that's probably wise.
I'll be sitting here sometimes with little Toby when the doorbell goes, and I'll say, "You answer it, Toby." He doesn't, of course. A cat can look at a queen, but he can't answer the door yet. Can you, Toby? So we sit here quite still until the footsteps go away and look for somewhere else. No, I can't be bothered with casuals.
Well, I'll be staying for a while. That's all right with you, Misty.
That's what you always say. You were going to live here forever last time. And then it was up first thing and back to Whitehall without your egg.
This time's different.
Oh, we've heard that before, haven't we, Toby?
No, really, I've got some heavy writing to do. I had to take leave of absence so that I can work in peace.
Oh, dear Toby, whatever will happen to the country with no Mr. Canterbury watching over it? Ah?
While you make the tea, I'll just take my bag up to my room and freshen up.
Would you like some toast and marmalade?
You're spoiling me, Miss D.
That man could have a knighthood by now, for all we know, Toby. He could be Prime Minister, and we'd only ever hear it from the television.
Jack, what are you doing?
Has he phoned?
No.
Has anyone else?
No.
The letterers?
No one at all.
I brought you a few house guests.
No.
The redditors from London to console and comfort you.
I'm Georgie from head office, and
this is Fergus. Awfully sorry about this.
The man with all the boxes is Harry.
Hello. He's going to fix all sorts of clever devices to your telephone.
Don't worry about it. Just use it normally and try not to think about it.
You won't mind if we look around.
Do I have any options?
Not really, no. You know the routine, Mary.
Where do we start, Jack?
Upstairs.
Right. Come on, Fergus. Let's not hang about.
We'll do our best not to break anything.
Please.
I'll start down here, then.
Fine. Where's he do his homework, Mary?
In the old servants' room next to the kitchen.
Let's start there.
If you say so. In here. Where is he, Jack?
He's using tradecraft. Ours. Who does he know in Edinburgh?
No one that I know of.
Well, they think they've chased him there. Think he took the 5 o'clock shuttle from Heathrow.
What do you think, Jack?
Knowing our Magnus, he could be in Timbuktu. Is this his diary?
Ours.
Mind if I look?
Well,
I'm being polite. Has he ever vanished before and you've not told me?
No.
You had no inkling this might happen?
No.
I want it straight, Mary. The RAF don't fly us out in the middle of the night for nothing.
He's never done anything like this before.
Who's P? The 25th, 6:30, P. And there's a P on the 16th, too.
I don't know. One of his Joes, I suppose.
Well, this is your writing, isn't it?
Magnus doesn't keep a diary of his own. Says it's insecure.
So you write his entries for him?
He said that if anyone looked, they wouldn't know which were his entries and which were mine. It was part of sharing.
Sharing what?
His work.
Explain.
If he couldn't tell me what he was doing, he could at least show me he was doing it.
Did he say that?
I could feel it.
Feel what? What could you feel?
That he was proud. He wanted me to know.
Know what?
That he had another life. An important one.
You mind if I keep it?
Yes, I need it. It's my diary too. Remember?
Well, you can copy what you need before I leave.
Thanks very much.
Why is this drawer empty?
I didn't know it
was. What are you keeping it?
Nothing in particular.
Papers, documents?
I don't know, Jack.
How long has it been empty?
I don't know. For God's sake, get off my back, will you?
Was there a favourite place somewhere? I mean, some hideaway you might go to.
He talked of Ireland once. Said he'd buy a croft overlooking the sea and write. I'd paint and he'd write. That was the plan.
Northern Ireland or the South?
South, I suppose, as long as it was by the sea.
Never mentioned anywhere else, just Ireland.
The Bahamas.
When did he say that?
He didn't. He just marked the property advertisements in the Times and left them for me to see.
A sign?
A reproach. A signal that he wanted to be somewhere else. Magnus has a lot of ways of talking to you.
Has he ever talked of doing away with himself? They'll ask you, you know.
No, he hasn't.
You don't sound too sure.
I'm not. I have to think, Jack. He's a very complex individual. Hell, can't you see this has all come as such a total shock?
Well, not that total, Mary. As soon as you knew he wasn't on that plane, you were on the phone to me.
I was sick of seeing his suitcase go round and round that bloody carousel.
And he didn't phone you from London?
No.
Now think, Mary. 5 whole days he was away and he didn't phone
you. I told you, no.
But wouldn't he usually?
Yes, usually he would phone. He worries about us. He likes to know we're all right.
Is that why you went off with such a bang when he didn't show up?
Probably. Yes, I think I was already a bit worried.
This mustn't get out, Mary. You've got to sit on it as long as possible. You know that.
I guessed. There's his Joes to think of.
It's much more than just his agents in the field. Much more. London's stiff with theories and begging for time. Are you sure Lederer hasn't phoned? You say nothing. Do you hear me? Nothing to anyone. And especially nothing to Lederer's crowd. There's trouble enough with the Americans as it is.
What sort of trouble?
There's no disappearance, nothing abnormal. Magnus went back to London to bury his father. He's staying on for talks at head office. Normal routine. Got it?
Got it.
Leave it.
It might be Tom.
I said leave it. Harry!
Yeah?
Take this call.
Hang on.
Now make it good and long, Mary. Spread it right out. You know how to play these games.
Okay, Harry.
Wait one. Go.
Nice and slow, Mary.
Pym residence. Could be a cold call. It is. What do I do?
Speak.
Hello? Speak up, please. Here is the residence from Councillor Magnus Pym from the British and Botschaft. Where is the arbiter? So, sprechen Sie doch. Mr. Pym is im Moment nicht hier. Speak up, please. This line is dreadful. Hello? Can you hear me? Who is this calling? Magnus, for God's sake.
Where are you, Magnus?
Thank you, Mary.
Too short, sir. I need another minute at least. Sorry.
My fault. I had to cut her off. Was it foreign?
It could be. Could be next door.
Now, don't do that again, Mary. We are on the same side.
I know. Sorry, Jack.
Cigarette?
No, thanks. I'm all right, really.
This is an absurd situation, Mary.
Yes.
Now, let's go through it again, shall we? Starting with a phone call at your dinner party. Now, I tell Magnus his father has died. What's his reaction?
We were in the middle of dinner.
Yes, I know, but afterwards, when you were alone, how did he seem?
Quiet. He just said he was free. I'm not sure what that meant.
Free? Rick dies and Magnus is free?
Yes.
But didn't he want to talk about it?
No. He looked lost, Jack.
Lost?
Like an actor without a part.
His father takes up and dies, and suddenly Magnus doesn't have a part. I mean, what the hell's that supposed to mean?
I don't know, Jack. All I know is I'm frightened.
You and me both.
Where the hell is he, Jack? What's happened to him?
That was part one of A Perfect Spy, the novel by John le Carré, adapted for radio by René Basilico. It starred James Fox as Magnus Pym, with James Grout as Jack Brotherhood, and Brenda Bruce as Miss Dubber, and featured Harriet Walter as Mary Pym. Grant Lederer was played by Vincent Marzello, B. Lederer and Georgie by Shelley Thompson, Herr Oberst and Harry by Peter Birch, Frau Dinkel by Aletta Lawson, Cudlove by Frank Mills, Vi by Fanny Carby, Daisy by Pat Coombs, and the medical student and Fergus by James Telfer. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The theme music was written by Max Harris, and the program was produced by John Fawcett Wilson.